that was the Buzzcocks here on BFF.fm. RIP Peachelli.
RIP in peace.
RIP.
RIP
in pieces.
To my household being relatively Buzzcocks free.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that. Sorry for your loss, Jess.
At least Marquis Smith will never die again.
Excuse me.
Sorry, that was mean. RIP in peace to Marquis Smith, too.
Yeah, like that her? Is the worst part about aging is like now all these people are dying and we have to, I don't know, listen to music we're not interested in.
Yep. okay. The worst part.
You are listening to TV on the Radio here on BFF.fm. Today we're just talking about dead musicians. Thanks for tuning in.
Mm-hmm. Our music show.
Yeah.
Our music talk show.
Yeah. No, we are actually going to talk about the Netflix show Wanderlust, starring Toni Collette, the greatest actor of our generation. But before we do that, I do have a very special message that I would like to put out over the web waves. Working together, we're building something truly special here at BFF.fm, a community radio station that brings diverse, authentic voices and sounds to the web waves, creates a more engaged San Francisco, and unites local and underground artists with music lovers in the magical way only radio can. Join us by becoming a bestie or by making a one-time donation before December 31st. It's our year-end pledge drive, and we would love you guys to please donate now at bff.fm/donate. Becoming a bestie is amazing. It gets you access to bestie events that happen here at the station once a month. And they're amazing. Mm-hmm. They're really great.
Yeah.
And it's a $10 monthly donation, which really is the price of like cup and a half of coffee, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like at this point. So, yeah, bff.fm is amazing.
Obviously.
Yeah, clearly. But yeah, doing really great things in the community. And I feel like we need that now more than ever. So if you guys could become a bestie, donate now at bff.fm/donate. And we would be forever grateful.
Thanks, guys.
Now back to the regularly scheduled show. We are, as I mentioned, talking about Wanderlust, which is currently airing on Netflix. It is a co-production between the BBC and Netflix and starring Toni Collette. It's about a Toni Collette plays a therapist who decides to try to rejuvenate her marriage by opening it up.
Yep.
And it's about what happens after that. It's 6 episodes, so very...
My favorite number of episodes.
Yeah. Very, very consumable, totally bingeable, and I loved it. What did you think about it, Jess?
I really liked it, too. It was really enjoyable. It was a great, you know, all my favorite things. 6 episodes, very warm, you know, like I got good vibes. God, I hate myself. But, you know, like really likable characters and like also the setting was very beautiful.
Yes, very, very beautiful. Insert all of the usual things that I say about BBC productions. I feel like they are I think the writing for this was amazing. It's based on a stage play written by Nick Payne, who was also the screenwriter for the show. But he is gallingly 34 years old and very accomplished.
Wow.
Nick Payne is a playwright and screenwriter responsible for Jake Gyllenhaal's Broadway debut.
Really?
In his other play called Constellations, which was apparently a smash hit on Broadway and is currently playing in Ontario. Toronto, Ontario. I don't know, somewhere in Canada land. But I thought the writing on this show was amazing. I thought Toni Collette's performance was just really outstanding.
She's so great.
She's somebody that, you know, she's been kicking around for a while. Muriel's Wedding was delightful. I never watched The United States of Tara, but it was critically acclaimed, like a very successful show. And I feel like Toni Collette is respected as an actress, mm-hmm. but I just, I thought her performance in this was truly like next level, just amazing. She is somebody who can do so much with her face.
Yeah.
Her weird, beautiful face. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a maybe 2-minute scene in this show of her eating muffins.
Yeah, and that was incredible. It was
insanely intense.
Imagine acting against a muffin. Yeah. It gives you nothing.
That muffin was probably delicious. Decimated by Toni Collette's acting. She was really, really outstanding. But yeah, I love the show. I thought it examined like some really big issues in a very satisfying way. It like is only 6 episodes, but I feel like it explored and answered a lot of kind of big things. There was a very satisfying payoff. Like, the acting seemed very naturalistic. The mm-hmm. setting was beautiful. Her house was super covetable.
Yeah, all the like apartments were really awesome.
Yeah, and it was just everything in the show felt really true and earned. Like, it felt like you were looking at these people, like, at their lives. And yeah, I really, really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, her acting had a real, like, her rawness to mm-hmm. it. It's a very, I didn't know it was based on a play, but mm-hmm. now that makes sense because it's very talky.
Yes.
But she, like, made these choices to, like, have, not over the top, but, like, these tics where she would, like, touch her hair and, like, you know, the pauses in her talking. It mm-hmm. was very, they were interesting choices.
Yeah. Great. I was thinking about, there's sort of a bottle episode where she's a therapist in the show, and as I mentioned, she decides to open up her marriage to mm-hmm. kind of try to rejuvenate her marriage after this accident that she has had, and it slowly sort of unfurls, like, the everything that led up to the accident unfurls over the course of the 6 episodes. But there's an episode where she is meeting with her therapist, and yeah, her speech patterns in that episode, I was thinking afterwards, I found it like deeply affecting. It was this whole journey that I went on. Sorry, I hate myself for saying
no,
I went on a journey, but but yeah, you see her like being reticent and then sort of opening up and kind of having this breakthrough in therapy. But yeah, I was thinking about like her speech patterns and her hesitancy and trying to act something that's scripted that way and make it naturalistic is just insane.
That
it was
the writing in that episode was incredible. Like, the idea that I could be riveted to an hour of television that's just two people talking to each mm-hmm. other, like the ups and the downs of that conversation were super intense.
Yeah,
I was really impressed by it.
Yeah, it was really, really awesome. And again, I just think the BBC does this amazing job of, like, I feel like British actors, I know Toni Collette's Australian or New Zealand, whatever, one of those countries. Yeah, isn't she?
I don't know. I'm surprised by that. I thought she was British.
No, she's Australian.
Oh, okay.
But if you guys have other intel, Toni Collette, if you're listening and would like to correct me just assigning a nationality to you, feel free to tweet at us. We would love to hear from
you.
Right.
She's Australian.
Yeah, we're at BFF TV on the radio. And I realized too that I assume that purely based on Muriel's Wedding.
Well, that makes sense.
So
that was her breakout role, right?
That was her breakout role. But yeah, I feel like there's a naturalistic style to British acting that is kind of not rarer, but like it truly, truly seems to me like the acting was outstanding across the board in this mm-hmm. show. Like, there were no weak links. Well, I don't know, maybe the son's girlfriend was no, she was great. Fine. She was fine. Yeah. No weak links. I will revise my statement. There were no weak links at all in this show. But I do feel like it's very naturalistic in a way that it's harder to achieve in American drama. I don't know, maybe it's American drama is more dramatic. I don't know. Like, it seems like a real slice of life.
Right, yeah. Not stylized. Maybe coming off of Homecoming, we're just surprised by people acting like people.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. People having normal reactions. Jess, do you think that opening your relationship to new partners would be the shot in the arm that every long-established relationship needs? Or do you think that, you know, what you've sort of become accustomed to and been bored by, the, like, comfortable right. domesticity that you just take for granted, do you think that, like, fucking with that in any way can't be repaired?
This show did an interesting job of answering that question. I think it made sense. You know, she wanted something else, but didn't want to end her marriage. Their partnership was, you know, they had things that they had built over a lifetime of raising a family.
Yeah.
That you would never be able to recapture with anyone else. And yeah. that would be a huge shame to give up. But, she needed something else. And I don't know. Like, I see both sides. I can see how that would work for some people. I think it would take an incredible suppression of your ego to be open to your partner having sex and possibly more with other people.
Yeah, I think the first two episodes explore kind of like the upsides of that. Mm-hmm. They sort of found this new shared intimacy with each other, and like they were like newly reinvigorated and attracted to each other. And I think there's a benefit to seeing your partner as somebody sexual right. again, and like somebody that other people would want to have sex with. Then it slowly sort of unfurls over the next four episodes, like with how they manage to navigate right. this. And I think it's just a management issue. They really had a good thing going and they fucked it up. They should have set some more like ground rules.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's episode four that they've both like met people that mm-hmm. they are having fun with. And then they go on a double date.
Yeah.
That seems like a real
multiple double dates. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a boundary, I think, that should have been set and not crossed.
Yeah, I
no
think
double
just
dating.
Yeah, just keep your open marriage open and separate.
I don't know. That seemed crazy.
Yeah, that did seem a little crazy. The show ends with a really interesting scene. They split up for a while because mm-hmm. ostensibly Alan, the husband, falls in love with Claire, his paramour in the open relationship.
Slash colleague.
Yeah, slash colleague.
There are no boundaries.
You should have set some clearer, like, you absolutely cannot sleep with somebody you already know, and you can't see anybody more than three times because somebody's going to catch feelings, obviously.
Three times.
But I think three is good. But yeah, so Alan moves out, and they reconcile at the end of the show, mm-hmm. and you see them, they reconcile, they have sex. The show features a lot of sex, by the way, but yeah. I felt like it was done in a way that was very, very not gratuitous sex mm-hmm. scenes, and I really appreciated that. Sex truly was like a symbol for other things in this show.
It always revealed something about the characters
yeah.
or their relationship.
Yeah, it was very much in service.
I would like to say I'm not against gratuitous sex scenes.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I think we could all use a little more gratuitous sex in 2018, but it was, I sort of appreciated that it was about revealing something about the characters sure. each time. This obviously is a spoiler if you haven't watched the show, but you see the very last scene is Toni Collette gets out of bed. She's totally naked. She walks to the window. I thought she was going to like throw open the curtains and like just bare herself to the world. And you see her turn to stare at Alan, and she smiles, and then slowly like her smile fades. Yeah. And then she just does this like insane exhale that's like a perturbed right. exhale. And in that moment I was like, Toni Collette's the greatest actor of our generation. Guys, I know we say that weekly, but I may mean it with regards to Toni Collette. What did you take from the end of the show, Jess?
So I wasn't sure in the moment, and I'm still not 100% sure, but I think, this journey where opening up her marriage kind of saved it in a way, and then things kind of fell apart and then came back together. And I think there was this realization that, like, you can look for a fix. You know, being married is about committing to working through things, mm-hmm. you know. And I think they worked through this, but it was a realization that, like, it's never really fixed, you know. Like,
yeah.
Finding a fix for your marital problems is never going to, like, return it to the state that you imagined marriage would be.
Yeah.
I think it was a realization that, like, it's everything's more complicated than you think it's going to be.
You're doomed for disappointment for the rest of your days.
Essentially, yeah. Like, but in a comp, like, you know, this is her going to be her life partner one way or the other. I don't know. It sounded more compelling when I was thinking about it this morning.
I was really sort of... Yeah.
Like, it's sort of like this happy ending. They finally found their way back to each other. But it's never... It's, you know, they're going to face more obstacles.
Yeah, it's like wherever you go, there you are. You're back at the beginning. It's like this sort of, you know, injected mm-hmm. drama didn't ultimately fix anything.
Yeah. What do you think?
I kind of thought... I did initially think that, and then I also thought, like, oh, it's also about, like, now dealing with the fallout of this kind of betrayal. Like, you mentioned that, you know, you'd have to be insanely good at putting your ego aside to be okay with letting your partner sleep with someone else. And the arrangement came about because they had both cheated with other people initially. Alan slept with his colleague, Claire. Who wouldn't sleep with Claire? She's super awesome. He slept with his colleague Claire and then admitted it to Joy. And she had met a guy through her physical therapy water class, Marvin, mm-hmm. who, I mean, that's just a deal breaker for me. I'm sorry. Sorry, Marvin. Even your squinty attractiveness can't surmount the fact that you're called
Marvin's
Marvin.
A deal breaker.
Yeah, Marvin's a bit of a deal breaker. But she took him back to her therapist cave, her little shed that she had out back that was where she saw her therapy clients. And they engaged
in a sex act.
They engaged.
That I prefer they not to describe. Did
a sexual relations. But they... did not have sexual intercourse. So that in one thing, what do you think about? So they had both already cheated and Alan confesses all and then she confesses. And that's mm-hmm. how they start talking about, like, maybe we should just, you know, like, clearly it's not working right. for us. Maybe we should open it up. But I think it's interesting that they had both crossed that line.
Right.
How do you feel... How wrong do you feel Alan was for having sex with a colleague? Obviously, that's the bigger betrayal.
Right. I mean, that's pretty wrong. I mean,
yeah.
I would be mad. But, I mean, they set it up. They were having trouble having sex. She didn't want to have sex with him anymore. They chalked it up to she had been in this brutal
traumatic bike accident
that took her a while to recover from physically. And that's, you know... why they weren't having sex, but really she just didn't want to have sex with him. So, like, the idea is that it's his sexual frustration that justifies him banging his colleague. But yeah, I don't know.
There's a lot of people to sleep with. I feel like,
oh, your beef is specifically that it's with his colleague.
Yeah. I feel like, yeah, I think it's somebody that your spouse knows and, I don't know. I also feel like sleeping with somebody versus, you know, completing a sex act with somebody is, I mean, there's degrees of badness, but, like, I'm just like, well, I don't know. It wasn't, like, intercourse. So she kind of gets a pass, I guess. I don't know.
You sound like some, like, Christian teen.
Yeah. Didn't count. Totally didn't count, guys. You can't get pregnant. But, yeah, I thought I just... after the fact, I was like thinking about, is this something that like Joy brought up? Because yes, she did not want to have sex with Ellen anymore. But like at that point, you're both kind of equal. And don't you just get to like, you could have just cut it off and been like, okay, we both had this dalliance, like we're good, we're just gonna move forward.
So you're arguing that the TV show should have been one episode.
Yeah, they should not have leaned into exploring having sex with other people. They should have just been like, okay, that cancels out like my cheating, so we're both like we start from zero and just go forward. It's great.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that's
all right. Well,
everybody gets a pass, and then
clearly the writers were bound by the commitment to writing 5 more episodes.
Sure, sure.
So that's how we got our inciting action.
Sure.
I thought it was interesting that her journey, what like she needed to sleep with other people. We get this unveiling of this whole backstory of the, you know, the trauma of first this accident she's in that like was physically brutalized her body. And then we learn that she had a patient who tried calling her and she didn't take the call and then he killed himself. And then this was a deeply affecting thing. Mm-hmm. And then we sort of learn that there's a suggestion that maybe she rode her bike into traffic on purpose. It's maybe just the briefest suggestion.
I thought it was more she saw that guy's wife and got distracted. And then...
Yeah, no, I think it was meant to be ambiguous.
Oh, okay.
Or at least just at the hint of a suggestion that maybe she subconsciously tried to hurt herself. And then there's like going back further, this trauma about losing her mother and the boyfriend that she was with at the time and the complicated feeling she has wrapped up with him and the death of her mother or father. I don't, doesn't
the,
matter.
Death of her mother. Mother. The death of her
and
mother.
And so like this is all things that are explored in the therapy episode. And like then it's all tied up in her marriage and her feelings for her husband who she met very young. And then that's sort of her journey, like coming back to him and like what a, you know, rock he's been in her life since they were very young. His journey was he moves out of the house to be with his younger girlfriend. Oops, she's kind of messy and annoying.
Yeah.
He goes back to his wife.
Yeah.
It's perfect. A fucking course. That
yeah. Yeah. I also thought it was really interesting that she sort of initiates it and he's kind of happy to just like keep going with their sexless marriage, essentially. Right. And in thinking about that, I was like, of course it would be the woman who would initiate it. Because, yeah, like, why would a man ever rock the boat? Like, they've got everything they need. Like, they're completely content and the entire world is catered to them. Like, women are the ones who deal with sort of like losing a sense of themselves as they age and become invisible in society and then like not having kids to raise. I also thought I loved this show for introducing one kid per episode in the first three episodes. I was like, are we just gonna end up with like 6 kids? Yeah, is there gonna be another kid coming into the house?
Even warned me about that, and then they kept coming. I was like, this is sort of like a clown car emptying into this house. But stopped at 3 kids.
They stopped at 3 kids. But I was like, of course it would be the woman who would, like, why would a guy ever rock the boat? Like, because the entire world caters to them. And yeah, women are the ones who need this sort of like sense of personal fulfillment that you would certainly get by having sex with other people, like finding validation and like,
you know,
being
because
found
of
attractive.
The patriarchal structure of our society, like, it's so true that, you know, as a woman, your identity sort of coalesces around what your husband, his identity, you know, it's usually what he wants to do that dictates where you live or like, you know, and then your identity is just a mom for 20, 25 years or however long you're raising your brood of sassy children.
Yeah.
So that's like, as you age toward 50, I imagine, like, a man's like, yes, this is all my identity.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, I am surrounded by...
Look what I've built.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I just... I thought we talked last week about Homecoming, and I think that's supposed to be a show that like makes you think, you know, like it's real. Oh, wow. But I feel like this show actually made me do a lot more thinking about like,
a little more relatable.
Yeah. And also just, like what it is that you're left with. And also, this like the show just really did an amazing job at showing how like this kind of ecosystem that like you've taken for granted that you've, that you have, like, it's a shared life with somebody and you've built this together, and like this cozy domesticity that you take for granted and kind of resent and like just sleepwalk through, once it's disturbed, like it can never go back to that same thing. Like you see the ripples in their kids. They announced it at dinner. Also a mistake. Like, keep your open marriage to yourself, guys. But their two older daughters were like, oh, okay, whatever, you know. Uh-huh. And then the son like burst into tears at the table in a very sweet, like relatable, vulnerable moment. Mm-hmm. And was extremely worried that they were gonna get divorced, even though he's this like kind of tough like 16-year-old youth.
I did not get that vibe from him at all. I thought he was very like sensitive and supposed to be kind of nerdy.
He evolved that way, but I think like when we first see him, we're introduced to him grilling his best friend about like how often she masturbates and all of that.
I just thought that's how teens talk now.
Sure. Maybe it is. I'm not really.
You could really convince me almost anything about teenagers because I'm so far removed.
Yes, absolutely. I don't know one thing about how, and especially British teenagers. They're apparently all going to Zadie Smith book reading, which
how old do you think Zadie Smith is now? Like 33 or something?
Yeah, probably. She's probably like 32. Let's go to another song. And then when we come back, we'll talk more about Wanderlust. We would love to hear from you guys if you have any opinions about the show or about our show or about BFF. If you have a warm BFF story that you would like to share, we'd love to hear it. But we'll be back after this song and we'll talk some more about Wanderlust. Maybe. We'll see.
We regulate any stealing of his property. We're damn good, too. But you can't be any geek off the street. Gotta be handy with the steel, if you know what I mean. Earn your keep.
Regulators! Mount up!
It was a clear black night, a clear white moon. Warren G was on the streets, trying to consume some skirts for the E, so I could get some phones. Rolling in my ride, chilling all alone.
Just hit the east side of the LBC, on a mission trying to find Mr. Warren G. Seen a car full of girls, ain't no need to tweak. All of you search, know what's up with 213.
So I hooked a left on 21 and Lewis, some brothers shooting dice, so I said, let's do this. I jumped out the rock and said, what's up? Some brothers pulled some gas, so I said, I'm stuck.
Since these girls peeping me, I'm on glide and swerve. These hookers looking so hard, they straight hit the curve. Want some bigger, better things than some horny tricks. I see my homie and some suckers all in his mix.
I'm getting jacked, I'm breaking myself. I can't believe they taking Warren 12. They took my rings, they took my Rolex. I looked at the brother, said, damn, what's next?
They got my homie hemmed up and they all around. Can't none of them see him if they going straight pound for pound. They wanna come up real quick before they start to clown. I best pull out my strap and lay them busters down.
They got guns to my head, I think I'm going down. I can't believe it's happening in my own town.
If I had wings, I would fly, let me contemplate. I glance in the cut and I see my homie Nate.
16 in the clip and one in the hole. Nate Dogg is about to make some bodies turn cold. Now they dropping and yelling, it's a tad bit late. Nate Dogg and Warren G had to regulate. Switching my mind back into freak mode. If you won't skirt, sit back and observe. I just left a gang of those over there on the curb.
Now they got the freaks and that's a known fact. Before I got jacked, I was on the same track. Back up, cause it's on N-A-T-E and me, the woman to the G.
Just like I thought, they were in the same spot, in need of some desperate help. The Nate Dogg and the G-Child were in need of something else.
them dames was sexy as hell. I said, ooh, I like your size. She said my chords broke down and just sing real nice. Would you let me ride? I got a car full of girls and it's going real swell. The next stop is the East Side.
G-Funk, step to this, I dare ya. Funk, on a whole new level.
The rhythm is the bass. Whoa. And the bass is the treble.
Chords, strings, we brings melody. G-Funk,
where rhythm is life, and life is rhythm. If you know like I know, you don't wanna step to this. It's the G-Funk era, funked out with a gangster twist. You smoke like I smoke, then you high like every day. And if your ass is a buster, 213 will wake you late.
All right, welcome back. You are listening to TV on the Radio here on BFF.fm. And I'm just going to mention it one more time that now is as good a time as any to donate to BFF.fm/donate. Any and all contributions count, but we would really love if you guys became besties. It gives you access to some really awesome events here at the studio, which if you guys haven't been to is amazing.
Yeah, you get a bestie pin. If you haven't seen the Secret Alley, you're missing out.
Mm-hmm. So. You get a bestie pin. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's worth it. An awesome enamel pin. It's worth it for that alone. And it would make us really happy in this season of giving.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
If you're feeling like a, you know, impotent rage and you don't know how to feel better about the world burning down around us, it helps to like just invest in your own community.
It does.
Whatever form that takes, but you know, community radio is our suggestion.
Yeah, BFF should be your community if it's not your main source of community. Okay, so we are talking about the Netflix show Wanderlust, starring Toni Collette, who looked outstanding during this entire show. Mm-hmm. She looked really amazing, has a slamming bod.
Yeah.
And I suggest she do much more nudity in the future. And she really looked outstanding.
Body is banging.
Yeah, super, super banging.
Wardrobe
body.
Wardrobe was banging.
Her wardrobe, the wardrobe of all of the characters was outstanding. She wears all these like beautiful goldenrod, like just at, her name is Joy, and she's got this like sunny, beautiful wardrobe. Mm-hmm. And then Claire, who Alan gets together with, his colleague, is wearing all these like vibrant, rich plums and like floaty fabrics. And it's just, yeah, it's amazing. And all of their apartments are like, Claire's apartment is kind of like messy, but like
that was
frenetic
like
and
a,
fun. And
yeah, like a messy college-y sort of apartment. Mm-hmm. Of course, it was spectacular, and it had to be like three stories.
It was amazing. Had had a loft. Yeah,
some twinkly lights.
Yes, it was amazing.
Yeah,
and their home had all these like
built-in bookshelves.
Yeah, and like beautiful lighting, and like this amazing blue wall that I covet, and yeah, it was kind of like cluttered and ramshackle, but very like lived in and cozy. Mm-hmm. And their kitchen was outstanding, and yeah, the whole thing was great.
Yeah,
super, super into it. Do you think that if you and your husband did try to open up your marriage, that he would immediately go for like the same partner while you try to play the field a little more? I feel like that's a very male thing. Is like, well, this works, okay. Like, but I found one additional person who loves sex with me. Let's just stick with that.
I can't speak for him, but I don't know. I suspect he would find someone 20 years younger than me immediately, and I would like, no one would ever want to have sex with me. So it would really backfire.
That was the thing. Is I'm like, is it really this easy to find people to have sex with. Like, I guess. Sure, right? Like,
yeah, for some people, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. For Toni Collette and her bang and bod, sure. Who wouldn't want to have sex with that? Let's talk about the real hidden gem in this show, Mark with a C. Her little paramour who...
That guy was delightful.
Needs a spin-off. I would absolutely watch any of these characters have their own show. I would love to, like, be taken through their arc and see where they go. That guy was... just amazing. Like, he's this cute young guy she meets at a bar. Like, he's, I don't know, he's pretty average. And then he's just, like, completely non-judgmental. Like,
likes noodles.
Yeah, like, lacking any ounce of ambition or any drive to do anything with his life whatsoever. He works at the zoo, but not as a zookeeper in admin.
Right. And that's such a perfect guy. Like, she doesn't need the guy who has his own apartment has a real job because she has a husband.
Yeah.
So, like, those things that, you know, are sort of red flags, don't have to worry about
them. Yeah, but he was just so delightfully, like, non-judgmental and just, like, here for whatever you need. Yeah. And, like, god damn, like, where's my Mark with a C? Like, I would love to meet some guy who's just, like, gonna be there for you. Yeah, like, if you just want to call and talk about noodles for 4 hours, he's your man. If you, like,
it's his sister's minutes, so who cares?
And then he had a kid, like, out of nowhere. Like, this whole thing. Mark was great.
Yeah,
he was awesome. And we get taken on a little bit of a brief journey through Joy's some of her patients that she sees. There's the super hottie sex addict guy whose wife had killed herself, who ends up having sex with their oldest daughter. Mm-hmm. And did I totally miss something? Why was the oldest daughter mad at her mom that she happened to be treating that guy?
I was not clear on that. Like, but she also seemed, like, mildly pissed off about everything.
Sure.
You know, like, she went on this guy's house to a date and she just, like, looked around regarding everything with suspicion.
Yeah.
They didn't seem to like each other at all.
And then had angry sex. Yeah. Yeah. And then she goes traveling with him at the end of the show, right. Which, yeah, it's not going to end well. Yeah.
Yeah. But I just thought, like, maybe that's just her demeanor. She's just mad.
Yeah. Same girl, same.
Yeah, I also like how the only version of sex in this show is, like, people pausing for a beat to look at each other and then fucking jumping on each other.
Yeah, isn't that how it happens in your life, Jess?
Yeah,
totally. I mean, yeah.
Except for Tom, the oldest son.
Yeah, Tom, he's the
very
oldest.
Very generous in bed to the extent that he will bring you a hot water bottle for your menstrual cramps.
Very, very sweet.
I love that kid.
Yeah, he was very, very lovable. He discovers throughout the course of the show that he has been chasing the hot girl at school, and he discovers that he's actually in love with his best friend.
Yeah.
She seemed cool, too.
Yeah, which is so perfect for, like, the D plot of a series, you know? Not complicated enough for us to follow closely, but
yeah.
Nice that it's happening in the background.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad Tom got a little...
cuddle.
Yeah. No, I'm glad Tom, he seemed like he was looking for love, and yeah. I'm glad that he seemed like one of those guys who, like, needs to be loved, and I'm glad that he found that with his best friend and their discussion of Nigella Lawson not filming in her real house.
But she seemed genuinely crushed about it.
Yeah.
I found very relatable.
Yes, absolutely. What was, I was going to say something that was going to
be
great.
We were talking about her patients. The couple therapy patient. I was 100% sure that guy was Martin Freeman, Tim from The British Office, like, his brother, because they had such a similarity in the face, that sort of plugged up nasally voice.
Oh, like, I think, like, it was
guy
just his
is definitely related to Martin
really
Freeman,
and he's and not
I don't absolutely not.
Oh, that's too bad.
it was a real bummer.
I feel like all British people are somewhat related. So it's a small island. I mean, they're all somewhat related. But that guy, I think it was his manner of speaking where he could not complete a sentence. Yeah. Also very relatable.
I
do the same thing.
Me too.
He's like, well, I think what it is you see, one time, I'm
Yeah, when that scene, I was like, oh shit, that's me.
Same. I was like, oh God. What else was I going? There's also a plot where Joy reconnects with her first boyfriend, Lawrence, who, I get, you know, you never really get over your first love, and there's always that, like, kind of connection and that pull to, I think it's just a pull to, like, a different time in your life before you've had your heart stomped on, right? Like, yeah. that's what it is for me, at least, is like, oh, remember when I actually loved freely and didn't realize that was bad and totally. I had to hide all my feelings? Yeah.
Before my spirit was crushed.
Yeah. But she reconnects with her ex, Lawrence, and he's back in town because his dad is dying, and his dad meant a lot to her, and is very tied up in her mom's death because he was very kind to her at her mom's funeral and things like that. But do you think that if your first love came back to town wearing a skinny purple scarf like Lawrence was wearing, that you could overlook that? Because for me, real deal breaker.
You know, when I read this question in your outline, mm-hmm. I was just thinking about the Lawrence character, but now I'm actually picturing my first boyfriend in a skinny purple scarf, and it is not a good look. Yeah. But I found Lawrence deeply unappealing, mm-hmm. and I thought that was interesting. I wasn't sure. I'm sorry. I just got a text from my dear husband, who obviously is my life partner.
Yes.
FYI, Jason Momoa hosted SNL last night.
He did.
It's on the DVR. Okay. Which, I mean, clearly he doesn't know me that well, because obviously I know that. But very sweet. Thank you, Stephen. Thank you, listener Stephen.
Yeah, thank you, listener Stephen. We appreciate that.
But Lawrence, like, I was like, is this guy supposed to be appealing? But I think that's what it was. It's like, it wasn't about who he is now. It's about what they shared in the past and the version of herself back then. That's, you know, gone or altered. And I thought that was an interesting choice.
Yeah, there was also a deeply affecting scene where Alan has moved out. He's with Claire, and she goes to Lawrence, of course, as a photographer, and he's shooting a wedding at this beautiful location. And she goes to the wedding and crashes it, and they have kind of this, like, intimate shared dance, and then they go back to the room, and she like makes her case for them like setting up a life together. Yeah. And he immediately shoots that down because he's also married. And he's like, what are we going to, like, he brings the reality into it. Yeah. Like, this is not feasible. It was this like heartbreaking moment where she's just like desperate for somebody to choose her, like feeling like she's already lost Alan to Claire, and he went ahead and fell in love with someone, and she was just sort of taking the arrangement at face value. But Toni Collette in this show was just really outstanding, and just does so much with her face. Like, she just conveys so much emotion, and like, I deeply, deeply related to that, where you're like, this will fix it. Like, right. And it's not even really what she wanted, but
but yeah, thinking you can go back to something, but that's what is the stupid expression? You can't jump in the same river twice.
Something like that, sure.
Sorry. Full of platitudes today.
Yeah. What else can we
you mentioned
never get by your first
bowling
love.
Shoes.
Yeah.
What? I forget. I don't clearly remember that.
She
was
picked
she
up
bowling with Lawrence?
Yeah, she picked up Lawrence, and they went bowling, and you and then
she stole,
which is also such a teen, like, it's like a very teen thing to do. Like, they went bowling, but they left in their bowling shoes. And what the fuck? Where are you at in your life that you would choose bowling shoes? So they left their shoes at the bowling.
She showed up with the shoes that she's had for a long time and left them for new shoes that she found. New old shoes. I think that's a symbol for something. Brexit?
You choose the rented stinky shoes over the, like, I don't know.
You choose the shoes that have an unknown past. that have been around for a while and have their own baggage.
Could be winners, could be losers. Yeah. Maybe somebody bowled the best game of their life in those bowling shoes. Maybe somebody had their worst day in those bowling shoes. I don't know. I think we're reading too much into the bowling shoes. But I was just like,
you're right to point them out. It's clear.
Where the
symbolic.
Fuck are you in your life that you would abandon your shoes for some bowling shoes?
Yeah.
It's not a good look, guys. It's really not. It's really just not. Also, you can buy shoes that look like bowling shoes, so I don't understand why you'd leave your perfectly good shoes at the alley.
Leah, that's another show, okay? Where she's like, you know what? These are kind of cute. I'm going to try to find something that looks like this.
I'm gonna start a bowling shoes line. okay. What else would you like to say about Wanderlust?
Okay, we covered the purple scarf. you asked. So there's a very awkward scene where they're at a fundraiser for the kids' school, and that's when she chooses to out with, like, just to be clear with everyone about what their arrangement is. And it's
they're again
horrifying.
Double dating at
that's
the
right.
at the fundraiser. Which that's your statement, like that's your fuck you to everybody. Like, you show up both with your other partners from your open marriage. That's your statement.
You don't need to
actually verbally make a statement about how you're not trying to hurt anyone.
So where would you announce your new marital arrangement?
Oh, I think definitely at a wedding for sure. In the like, yeah, definitely when they like, does anyone here see any reason? And I'm like, I don't see any reason why these two should not be married, but I'm just saying we're in an open relationship now and it's working out great, or it's not so good, whatever.
You know, it sounds selfish and terrible,
sure,
but actually,
sure.
Like, if you're at a wedding and you're open to, you know, a hookup, it's good to let people know that you're available.
Right? People
for that,
love people hooking at weddings. Yeah.
That's secretly a great idea.
So there you go. Where would your spot be? Where
I
would
have
you
a
announce?
Few ideas.
Next door? Is that your...
I wrote that down. On next door. okay, but since you took my idea, I would probably call in to KQED's forum show.
There you go.
And tell Michael Krasny that my question isn't so much a question as it is a personal announcement about an update to my marital status.
Absolutely.
Or just for fun, I would go shout it at Jack Dorsey's silent meditation retreat in Myanmar.
Fuck that guy all the way. One thing that was interesting to me is I loved that therapy episode. As I mentioned, I thought it was just outstanding acting from Toni Collette and Sophie Oka, whatever her name is, the therapist.
Yes. Yeah, she was great.
She was really outstanding. And like the platonic ideal of a therapist too, who actually points things out to you and doesn't say like, what do you think? You know, she was like, I think that, you know, and was truly helpful in reaching this breakthrough with Joy. But that episode sort of delved into how this desire for something new was truly about grief. And I was like, does it have to be like a psychological thing? I'm sure, of course, opening up your marriage is about something, right? But like, can it just be about trying to get some strange... Like,
yeah, you think they're pathologizing the idea of polyamory.
Yeah, why does it have to be like a deep psychological wound that you're trying to overcome?
I don't think it does, but I think for the purposes of a TV show, that there had to be more meaning there.
Sure.
But I thought that was interesting. Like, she pointed out how she kind of blows up her life as a way to have a problem that's more manageable than this horrifying grief over her patient's suicide.
Yeah.
Or, you know, whatever. Like, it's just sort of a string of fires that she sets in her life to just keep hopscotching from one problem to the next.
Yeah,
I thought that was very interesting.
Let's get to the real meat of the show today, Jess. Okay. What are your rules for your new and improved open marriage?
I really haven't thought much about it, but just as I already mentioned from this show, definitely no double dates.
I think no double dates is good. I think it can't be someone you already know, and I think you have to limit your exposure to people.
What's your beef with like someone you already know? Like, not someone in your friend circle, like a mutual friend? Because like, yeah. Eventually, anyone your partner sleeps with is going to be someone they know.
Yeah, but I just think it should... I mean, if you're opening it up for the purpose of just, like, desire and you just want to have sex with other people, mm-hmm. it should just be, like, it's... I think anything pre-existing, like, is going to color your judgment. Like, Alan and Claire were colleagues and they both ended up, like, catching feelings, basically.
Right.
And I think, yeah, it should just be about hooking up if that's your stated goal yeah. is
to hook up. Do you think that's really, like, just limiting it to someone that you have recently met? Like, that's not going to prevent you from catching feelings. I think that's the complication.
Yeah.
There are probably many complications with polyamory, but yeah, like, how do you make sure you never fuck someone that you eventually have strong feelings for? It's just going to happen. It's probably going to happen. I think that's another thing you're going to have to be not egotistical about. Like, your partner's going to find more than just sexual satisfaction with other people they sleep with. There's going to be an emotional component, and you just have to be committed to not, you know, letting that cloud the idea that, like, your marital partner is someone that you share things with that you can never find with someone else.
I don't know. I think I can absolutely separate sex and emotion, and I think that I would definitely just be, like, some rando in a bar that, like...
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. But those are my rules. You can't see anyone more than 3 times. It can't be somebody you already know, and... What was my other rule?
Mine would be for my husband in our newly open marriage. Like, you can only sleep with dudes. Like,
oh,
if you don't want to, fine. That's fine. But yeah. Only dudes. Only people who do not reside in the United States.
Yes. Sure. Those all sound doable.
Yeah. Start there.
Okay.
I might still have to eliminate.
So. Yeah. Only dudes, also named Steven.
Yeah. Too easy.
Yeah. What else should we add about the show other than I just really enjoyed it?
Yeah, I highly recommend it. It was really good.
I thought it was just super worthwhile. It did examine, like, these really big questions and did it in, like, a beautiful way. It talked about a lot of stuff, like grief and sex and marriage and
And I think it did a really nuanced job of recognizing that these issues are complicated and there aren't clear answers. Mm-hmm. You know? Marriage is a weird thing. It's weird to commit to someone for your entire life. But it makes sense in a lot of ways to have this partnership that you are committed to nurturing and, like, soldiering through problems with this other person. But kind of still weird. It's complicated to do it, complicated not to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Don't do it, guys. No. No, it's great. It's great. Whatever. It's fine. It's fine.
Has its benefits. Someone needs to let you know that Jason Momoa is on the DVR.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, who would let you know that other than your internal Jason Momoa clock that, like, dings every time Jason Momoa pops up somewhere? I now want to see all of Nick Payne's work. I thought it was really outstanding, and I thought Toni Collette was amazing in it. Oh, we did not talk about the middle daughter.
Oh my god, yeah. Well, we'll have to leave you guys to watch that. There's a, I don't know, F plot about the middle daughter and her maybe affair with the elderly neighbor.
I mean, elderly, Jeff. Yeah,
quite an age difference.
Yeah, the neighbor who, I was unclear. I was like, is that looking for a mom or is that just about the seductive powers of baking? Like, I don't know. People love the Great British Bake Off. So I don't know. But
I think it was a little of both.
Clafouti is a very fun word to say. I want to go make a clafouti.
Invite me over.
Yeah, that was kind of strange. But also surprisingly, like, not as skeevy as I thought it would be. So
yeah, I mean, it was uncomfortable and fraught, but yeah, no, it was
not as tender. Bad as it could have been. All right, so that's our review of Wanderlust. Not as bad as it could have been. No, I think it was really great. Definitely worth your time for those 6 very, very watchable episodes that you can plow through in no time. It's kind of cold out today. Just go ahead and pull up some Wanderlust and contemplate the big questions with your partner about whether or not an open relationship would work for you guys. We're here for that. All right, we're going to end with another song. And just one last time, if you guys could donate now at bff.fm/donate, we would be eternally grateful. And yeah, it's a worthwhile cause, and I think you would feel really good if you did it. So just go ahead and do that. Yeah, so it's bff.fm/donate. Even if you don't donate now, you should keep it here on BFF, and there'll be awesome shows coming your way. Keep it here on BFF, and we'll be back next week with more TV on the radio. Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks for listening.
Above his dance with stars, millions of lights, each one in flames like all of us. Slowly burning out, I am floating in space and time, in a mist of neon lights. Can anybody it's a dream.